Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard alongside my esteemed colleague, Trevor Sikkema. Not physically alongside, but in spirit with you, Trevor, as you hail from Florida and you cover the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for PewterReport.com. For those people who don't know, I say it every time we come on the podcast, but podcast proper etiquette is to, to not assume that the listener knows who you are and they could be listening for the first time. So I apologize if you listen every day and you're a faithful listener. True. And you have to hear our names and titles.
One of us could have gotten off a garbage take and they'd been like, oh, I got to hear this the next day. So,
right. You had a take this morning that Damien Harris should be in tier one with Darius Geist and Saquon Barkley. What? Expound upon that.
As I'm going on through this whole scouting thing, and I talked about it a little bit before, really like after the first week of college football, when I said that Francois was better than Darnold and Josh Allen, and you, understandably so, were kind of like, he wasn't your QB1, but 2 weeks ago when we did the rankings, so why is it the case? And I said to you, the more I do this scouting thing, the more comfortable I get with just being able to say what I actually think instead of not saying it because I'm looking at other rankings of people who might be in the business doing it this way and that. And so having your own voice as a scout is important. Obviously, learning as much as you can, constantly learning and reading other people's stuff is good. But make sure that when you see something that you think that you see, you have the confidence to be like, hey, you know what? I think this guy could be as good as this or not as good as this or whatever. And Damien Harris is one of those guys because 2 years ago, I think, maybe last year, I can't remember, Shane Alexander, RIP Shane, he's not dead, just kidding, he's just not on Twitter anymore. He did a lot of draft work for Inside the Pylon and a lot of stuff on his own, and he lives over near Alabama, lives in Birmingham now, and so he has a pretty good pulse on the tide. And when Damien Harris was doing stuff, even when Derrick Henry was there, he was telling me about this Damien Harris kid because he also follows recruiting a little bit. Right. And last year, when Damien Harris was getting the handoffs and the balls, even in a smaller capacity, I thought he was phenomenal. And going into the year this year, I was like, man, nobody is talking about Damien Harris. And I didn't know whether it was because maybe I just hadn't watched enough tape of him and maybe like he was slower or had heavier feet or worse vision than I thought. But no, that wasn't the case. It was just the fact that nobody was talking about him because people would much rather have talked about Bo Scarborough, the more flashy, mean streak, highlight kind of running back from Alabama. But dude, Damien Harris, a former five-star running back, can do everything you want him to do. He's a fantastic pass blocker. He has good hands in the passing game. He's got great vision, good burst, good balance, can go through contact, has a knack for getting the ball into the end zone, which is key, as you've seen over the last couple of years. And so I really think – and I watched a couple of the runs between Barkley, Geist, and then Harris back to back to back, and I looked at these guys because I had this thought when I watched one of those Harris plays. And I was like, man, could he really be as good as these three guys? And I watched a little bit of all three of them back to back to back. And where I still might have my preferences in certain areas with each back, if you wanted to pick one of those guys and tell me that they are your RB1, I'd be like, all right. I might not necessarily agree with you, but I can totally see it. And that's the whole point of tiered rankings. So as of right now, I think that Damien Harris could absolutely be in that first tier of running backs who could be just as effective as one of those two bigger named guys if he goes to the team that believes in him, gives him a good offensive line, and can get some space, really work his skills. So, yes, I do think that Damien Harris is in that top tier of running backs, even in a stacked running back class.
I think that the thing that stood out to me the most about Harris and that maybe I've learned to really value because of guys like Kareem Hunt and Jordan Howard, who I liked but didn't like enough, clearly, coming out, is that his balance is exceptional. And you mentioned that, but he's able to get through contact and keep his eyes up. And, I mean, he's just powerful, like top to bottom, 5'11", 220 pounds. I think there's enough burst there. I don't think he's super explosive or shifty, but neither are those guys. And they still make their way. Their vision's really good. Their balance is good. Their power, their pad level. I'm starting to see all those things with Damien Harris. And I wonder, I don't think he's going to blow away any of the combines or anything like that. But I wonder if we're undervaluing a guy that is going to be a very good pro starting running back in the NFL, because I think you're right. This was the first chance I'd really gotten to sit down and watch Bama this week, and I have a ton of impressions from the game. but maybe none more than Damian Harris. I mean, I really thought he looked great. He only got 8 carries in the game. He had 93 yards, and he scored the game-tying touchdown.
Right.
He just is, and he's terrific in pass protection. I mean, terrific. Yeah. Physical, leverage, uses his hands well, will cut. Great vision pre-snap to recognize and see where pressure's coming from. I think you might be right in that he does belong. I don't know where the tiers are yet. I'm not ready to say where the tiers are per se. I think Barkley's a way more explosive weapon who can be used in a lot more different ways and has a higher ceiling probably to be a special player. But you're right. Damian Harris might be a better pure runner right now, like a better pure runner between the tackles with better vision. And he gets more pro-like opportunities, I think, as a back. And what I mean by that is a lot of Barkley's carries seem to come on like delays and things of that nature where he's not necessary where things where he's moving laterally, not just coming vertically down at the line of scrimmage where he can kind of see and read and react to things. I think Harris gets more of those traditional kind of looks at a defense, but I don't think you're that far off, and I don't know where he's gonna end up going in the draft, but I think he's a very polished NFL ready type of player that has a nice little future. I think his athletic testing will probably be big in the eyes of teams, but he's a good one.
And just to throw in one more point on this, you brought it up with Saquon getting out to the edges and Harris maybe having better, more success between the tackles in a traditional role. That is definitely more prominent in the NFL than it is in college football with that traditional kind of between the tackles, I formation or single back kind of a role. You see that more just because there's a lot less space in the NFL due to the size and the speed of the guys playing the game. But this just comes from me covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year. They have really struggled to run the ball, and not just effectively, but like a desire to actually run the ball, like to actually call run plays. Mm. And like even on, third and two, third and three, the Buccaneers are just not calling run plays. They're always having Charles Sims in the game as like their what would be their third down back, who he might be better at pass protection, but he's also just a receiver. So it's like they're not even a threat to run the ball. And I think the reason for that is, and I wrote this at some point in the season, they run from the shotgun a lot on third down, almost exclusively. Mm-hmm. And I wondered to myself, why aren't they giving the ball to Doug Martin? Well, Doug Martin might not be comfortable running the ball from the shotgun. He might not have near the vision. So when you do say something like that with Saquon Barkley, and I know you didn't mean it necessarily as a negative or something like that, but that is actually a trait that I wish that we would scout more or just note more.
Right.
Because Saquon Barkley runs from the shotgun a lot.
A ton, and
If you are a faster NFL team that likes to play more of a no-huddle, you need that. You need a guy who is comfortable from the shotgun. And that's a point that I would make, when Bucs fans talk about Saquon Barkley, that's probably the biggest point that I would make. Yes, he's a great talent, but he also can run the ball from multiple formations that they like to run from. So that was just not necessarily a Harris can't do that or anything like that point that I was making. It was just a general point about running backs that I wish that we would start to chart or just at least make note of more. Because I know some people do it in their scouting reports, but it's always something I see. Normally, you talk about the traits for the running back, and then when you go back and look at it, you go, oh, well, it makes sense why this guy's a shotgun runner. Mm-hmm. Well, if it does, and you are already seeing that on film, you're already watching it, why don't you just, check a little box and say, hey, this guy runs from the shotgun quite a bit, or note the percentage or something like that. It would help to, especially in a position where, and I know I'm rambling here, but especially on a position where specialization is such a big deal as we're seeing in the NFL, what formations you can run out of, how you're being used, what your skill set is. It's part of the diluted value of running backs in the NFL draft, but it also can be something that, if done correctly, can catapult your team, can make it very effective and make you a real great mismatch. So that's just a random kind of point on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's funny we talk about Damian Harris because he's one of the running backs that we maybe haven't talked about enough as we talk about Bryce Love and Barkley and Geis and Ronald Jones and all these other guys across the college football right now, and we could be seeing an unbelievable group of talent at the running back class. But a couple other guys we haven't talked about quite as much. Iris Williams from Mississippi State, and I know he's only a redshirt junior and he probably doesn't declare in this class, but he had a good year last year. He's having a good year this year. I thought a different type of back. Like he's a big back, but he's not necessarily like a smash grinder type like Bo Scarborough or somebody like that. Like I think that Aris Williams is very, very patient, kind of a methodical process to his game. I wonder if maybe is his processing a little slow. I only saw one game. It worked really well against Alabama when the linebackers kind of over pursued. He found a backdoor gap and slipped through. And he didn't just try and pound it right at the heart of the defense, but he kept his eyes up, kept scanning and looking. And I thought he showed pretty good burst all game long. So I'm excited about Aris Williams because I don't think he comes out this year, but he's about 6'1", 215, 220 as a back. I don't think he runs super low, but I'm really curious to see what he does with maybe. And I think he's going to get to 1,000 yards this year for Mississippi State. And I'd like to see what he does with another year in this offense. Next year's class looking like a great running back class potentially as well. I think Aris Williams could be one of the guys that we talk about. And maybe he does come out this year. I don't know. It's definitely possible. And Kerryon Johnson from Auburn, another guy that I watched. I know you want to talk about an Auburn guy on the other side of the ball. Have you seen any of Kerryon Johnson yet this season or in the past, the Auburn running back, number 21?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched some of the highlights of him. He's really impressive. He was hurt earlier this year, correct?
I think Cameron Petway was hurt. Was Johnson hurt? He may have been hurt for a game or two. I can't remember.
I thought he had been hurt earlier this year, but no. I've seen, both of those Auburn running backs have
old
school. Tons of highlights. Yeah.
They're like old school pound 'em type running backs, both big guys. Kerryon Johnson or, Cameron Petway. Cameron Petway wears a cowboy collar with the pad up in the back and he wears number 36 as a running back. I mean, does it get any more old school than that?
He doesn't.
He's your classic old school running back. But Kerryon Johnson, a lot of people asked me about him because he had 32 carries, 167 yards against Georgia's defense. Obviously, crazy impressive stat line. He does catch the ball a little bit for them as well. He's an interesting player to evaluate because he's a pretty big running back. I mean, I think he's like 6 foot 6'1" and somewhere in the 215, 220 range. But he runs really high and upright, so I don't really love that about his game because I think he's going to take a beating, and I don't think he's shifty or elusive at all. Like, I don't think he's a quick cutter. He's definitely a gap scheme runner. Get him going vertically. Like I said, I don't think he's like this super powerful bruiser either. So I'm just not sure how high I'm going to be on Kerryon Johnson as an NFL prospect. He's like clearly a very good college player. I think he has a place in the NFL for sure. I just don't know that I see like enough high-end traits. Like his feet aren't that quick, and I don't think his burst is anything elite. I think his vision's fine, but like you said, you better give him that clearly defined gap. I think that's where he works best, and that's a pretty good Auburn offensive line that he's running behind as well. Auburn's no joke, man. They can run the football, and they can hit deep shots on you. That's a good little balance to have, and they took it to Georgia. That's a good football team, and I kind of said that, like, we said that on the podcast where I was like, Auburn, this is going to be a game for sure. I definitely think this is going to be a game. And Georgia obviously played terrible, so that just compounded matters. But they completely shut down Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. I couldn't believe that, but they completely shut them down. Those guys did absolutely nothing in this game.
Yeah. I did not think that it was possible that game was going to be a blowout. But
I didn't either.
Here we are.
I didn't think anybody would get to 40 points. That's crazy to me.
Happened. You said it was going to be low, didn't you?
I thought it was going to be a low scoring game. I mean, both these defenses are exceptional, and we probably haven't talked enough about Auburn because they let the LSU game get away. They were thumping LSU a little bit, and they let that game get away, and they lost it. And otherwise, I think, I mean, obviously, we'd be talking about them right in the national championship picture. I think in the college football playoff picture.
Certain games can change entire perspectives. That game, you look at Auburn, you go, yeah, well, I mean, they lost a defensive stall of a game to Clemson earlier on in the year, and then they somehow let the LSU game get away. Well, now, after putting a whooping on Georgia, now all of a sudden you go back and you go, yeah, they hung with Clemson pretty well, and then they just had a bad week against LSU, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it was, right? The Clemson game was, they played well, they didn't finish in some opportunities, and if Clemson's a playoff team, then that's, I'm fine with that one. I can handle a one possession loss in that game.
I like Carlton Davis, that cornerback.
Yes,
I like him a lot.
Speak on.
He is I've heard people talk about him, haven't really been able to get to watch him much before this week, and he is kind of my And I know they both were the number six, so people are going to get on me for that. But, like, he is kind of my Quincy Wilson for this class. Like, just a long, strong, will try to bully you, lanky corner, can play man-to-man. I like him a lot. He would be my Quincy Wilson type in this class so far that I've seen.
What I like is that he's kind of physical. Like, he's kind of a tool to play against. You know what I mean? Like, he just stays on you.
It's what you want.
Yeah, there was one play where it went down the field, and he turned back to the ball, but somehow he got, like, he was got boxed out at the catch point or something. Like, the next rep, he came back. He rode the receiver straight out of bounds, threw him on the ground, out of bounds on the sideline. So, I mean, you could argue, you know, a little excessive here and there, but he just plays with kind of an edge, and he's pretty good against the run. He comes up. He's physical. I've really enjoyed watching Carlton Davis this season, and I think he got beat early in this game for a score. He's definitely not perfect, but I think there's a ton of traits there NFL teams are going to work for. So I got to sit down and study him on tape. I've observed him live now in three games this season, and I really only got to watch part of the Auburn-Georgia game. Auburn's defense has some impressive dudes on their I know we're going to talk about Trey Williams, the linebacker, as the draft process moves on. I don't know whether he's, you know, a high-end type. Auburn has these types, you know, these thumper types at linebacker. I don't know if you remember Casanova, McKenzie, and some of those guys.
Of course.
You know, everybody's like, oh man, like, so good between the tackles. Like, I love him. Like, in college football, they're always like, no one's talking about this guy enough, but because they have like the 185 tackles. But then NFL comes, and their range and the lack of movement skills and their inability in coverage gets exposed, and you just can't have it. You know, you see every year, you know, linebackers who dominated the college level just don't fit at the NFL. I mean, they just don't. They're, you know, there's guys like, you know, Deion Jones and Duke Riley going to teams and, you know, doing things, and, you know, Telvin Smith, the undersized, and he was kind of one of the first ones I felt like where I loved Telvin Smith in college, and, you know, you watched him and you were like, man, how's this guy gonna, he's 218 pounds, like, how's he gonna do it in the NFL? And, you know, he adds a little bit of bulk, but he's one of the best linebackers in the league. He just made bank with Jacksonville, and, you know, those type of guys, and it can't just be any of those fast guys, but, you know, those type of guys that have a combination of kind of instincts and ability to read their keys and use their traits to beat blocks to points, you know, those are the kind of guys you got to look for. And that's really not been Auburn's type at linebacker. Like, they have the big traditional thumpers that do well at the college level, especially SEC play. I mean, they're built for it. They're great at it. But they haven't produced like a lot of, like, these are the guys that are going to be high-end NFL prospects. But in the secondary, Carlton Davis I really like. Up front, I don't know if he declares. Dontavius Russell's a really interesting player, redshirt junior. And Jeff Holland, a junior, I don't know if he declares either. Carl Lawson's been talking up this kid on Twitter, and every game I watch of them, including when I watched him last season when he was able to get into games, he was so impressive to me for Auburn as an edge rushing type prospect. He's 11.5 tackles for loss and 8.5 sacks this season. I really kind of hope he comes out 6'2", 250, plays angry. I mean, just furious type of player. I don't know how bendy he is, but he's explosive and he's violent. I like a lot of what he offers. I think he could be a real sleeper in this class. People still really aren't talking about him, at least as far as I've seen. I hope he comes out, because I think Auburn's going to have a good finish in the year. I think they're going to be a good team. I know he's just a junior, but I think he has traits. I mean, this class needs some high-end guys, and I think he's got enough where he could work his way into consideration as a, you know, top 50, top 60 type. So I really like him. He's another one that caught my eye. A lot of good prospects for Auburn out there right now. Calvin Ridley, he impressed both of us again. I know I have him down in my notes that we wanted to talk about him, because –
yeah,
you're moving closer to that wide receiver one territory with Calvin Ridley, aren't you?
Yeah, and Calvin Ridley has been, I mean, just for the last 3 years, ever since he was a freshman, he has been so consistent in what he does, and the body control, how he worked the sideline. Now, here's the thing, man. Like, Calvin Ridley's not going to have breakaway speed. You see that on his tape. He's not going to be the fastest wide receiver out there, but it's the little things that can I feel like he's kind of Golden Tate-ish with just how well he can control his body and how strong he can be with some of the catches when he wants to be, the little shifty things that he can do, how he can be explosive where he wants to be. He reminds me a little bit of Golden Tate, and I mean that in a good way. I think Golden Tate, when he puts it all together, Golden Tate's a fantastic wide receiver. So I like Calvin Ridley a lot. I'm not ready to say he's my wide receiver one, just because I'm not really ready to say anybody is my something one, because I haven't gotten to as much tape as I want to. I'm excited to get to here in the next couple of months as, you know, if the Buccaneers stack up a couple of losses here and there over the next couple of weeks, then we're going to get in the full swing of draft season. But he's been great, man. I like him. I like his skill set.
I think his skill set's really, really good. And I think he's got true – I think he can beat you deep. He's got true speed. I think he's unbelievable after the catch.
You think he's a wide receiver one in the NFL?
The more I watch him, the more I really do. My only question with Calvin Ridley, and you know, we get to the wide receiver one talk, and it becomes, you know, the question of what is a wide receiver one? What does it look
right,
like? And
sure,
because the Lions, you know, for example, you brought up Golden Tate. I don't know if anyone would say they have a wide receiver one, but they have two really good wide receivers. You know, I think Marvin Jones and Golden Tate complement each other really well. So, you know, is Calvin Ridley ever a top 10 NFL wide receiver? I don't know about that, but because I need to see how does he do contested catch situations? How does he work off press coverage? That's the part of the game I haven't studied or haven't seen him face those things. You know, how does he do in those physical battles? Because he isn't the biggest dude in the world. He's got a long frame, but he's not like a huge receiver or anything like that. But I think he's unbelievable route runner. I think he's very technically sound. And man, his cut that he made in the middle of the field on that one long running catch was ridiculous. I mean, he's coming across the field. Safety has a perfect angle on him. He literally just plants his foot in the ground and stops completely, cuts back, and he's on his way. I mean, athleticism. I think he's special in that way. I think he's special in that way.
I think he's a high end number two wide receiver in the NFL, and perhaps that is the best wide receiver that we're going to get out of this class. I don't think he's a number one, just because. Some physical limitations, but when I say I don't think he's a wide receiver one, I'm not even saying that he can't be a team's main target. I'm just saying that if you have Calvin Ridley on your team, and even if he is good, I feel like you're always going to be still looking for, like, say, a Julio Jones, a Dez Bryant, obviously guys like Calvin Johnson or something like that. Like, you would always look to, when you have guys like that, those like true top wide receivers in the NFL, like franchise wide receivers, then you're not really looking for the other one. So like with Calvin Ridley, I feel like it's like a Golden Tate situation, or like what would be like an Adam Thielen situation. You know, like these are fantastic wide receivers, and they absolutely win games for their teams. Would you consider them quote unquote wide receiver ones in the NFL, like those elite guys? No, but they still get it done.
Don't hate on the GOAT, Adam Thielen, man.
Dude, I love him. I said in week two he's a top 15 wide receiver, and I said in week two when the Bucs were playing the Vikings, in my preview, I wrote that the Bucs will be going up against two top 15 wide receivers this week. And so many Bucs fans are like, I don't even know who Adam Thielen is. And I'm like, okay, well,
yeah, you're lost.
Torched the team. Welcome.
Yeah. He's John Owning over at fanragsports.com. He DM'd me and he was kind of like, hey, Stephon Diggs or Adam Thielen, who's better? I was like, dude, I don't even know, man. I've watched a lot of Thielen.
I think Stephon Diggs is better just because he gives you a higher ceiling. So at that point, if you have two guys who are good, you take the guy with the higher ceiling. But again, that's not taking anything away from Thielen. He's been fantastic. Yeah. And bringing it full circle, like, that's what I see from Calvin Ridley. I think he could be a fantastic wide receiver on any team. And if that happens to be...
Why can't Calvin Ridley be Stephon Diggs, though? Aren't they similar? He might be better after the catch than Diggs.
Is he?
I think he can be.
College, but the space gets a lot closer in the NFL. Yeah. I don't see him being Stephon Diggs athletic. I guess, my thing. Maybe I have to study him. And proves me I'm wrong.
I have to study him. I think I'm higher on what he can be than you, maybe, but I have to study. I have to see how he handles his releases, I think, because that's a big part of it in the NFL. And I underrated that with a guy like Devontae Parker. You know, I was like, my Parker's amazing in the air. Like, I mean, and he still is. Like, Devontae Parker, remember Brandon Lloyd?
Yes.
Okay, Devontae Parker's like a little bit better version of Brandon Lloyd, and probably a worse. Well, Brandon Lloyd was in a lot of situations. But remember how Brandon Lloyd made, like, all these highlight reel catches, but, like, getting him for a consistently dominant for a year was really tough. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That's pretty much Devontae Parker, like, to me. Like, And I think I undervalued that technical part of the game. Like, I thought all the tools are there. He's unbelievable in the air. His ball skills are ridiculous.
Put it together.
Yes, and he had the speed to win vertically. So I was like, this guy's all the pieces that you want. Yeah, it's not all polished out perfectly yet, but also I didn't think he was the most raw player. His releases were the big concern for me, but I was like, you know, release, it's not that big a deal. You know what? When corners jam him up, he still has a hard time. So some guys can learn that, some guys can, and I don't know how Ridley does in that respect yet, because I just haven't watched that aspect of his game yet. So that's going to be big for me, because Diggs has really good releases.
All right.
Clemson kids. Before we wrap up, Dorian O'Daniel's a name we got to talk about. I don't know if you've seen any of this kid.
Yes.
He's a straight player. Yes. He can rush off the edge. He's explosive.
Seven, man. I watch Clemson's front seven, or like front, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
However many people they put in the box. And I look at these names like Joseph and then O'Daniel, and I just think to myself, like, I don't know if they're just playing on an elite college football defense, or are these players like actually good? Like, I'm trying to figure it out. So O'Daniel is one of those guys who, yes, I have seen flash plenty of times on tape, but I mean,
He's played before this year, but it's not been like a full-time role or anything. Like 71 tackles, 9.5 tackles for loss. He had 10 tackles for loss as a part-time player last year, just because this defense so freaking good. You know, 5 sacks this season. He had 2.5 last year. He's got 2 picks. He returned them both for touchdowns this year, knocked away 5 passes. He's a playmaker. But I also have been impressed with how a lot of those types are high variance. You know, like there's going to be some boom busts to their game.
Sure.
I've been pretty impressed with how disciplined he's been in coverage, how like he'll manipulate quarterbacks a little bit. Like he picked off Lamar Jackson. It was Lamar Jackson had like a slant flat read, and he kind of feinted like he was going to the flat and then sank back under the slant right as Jackson threw the ball and picked it off and housed it. And that was the game. He does that kind of stuff. Like, he's pretty savvy. I don't know. I've been really, really impressed with O'Daniel. He's not your typical size linebacker. You know, 6'1", 215, 220, somewhere around there. He plays He plays very physical. I haven't seen it be a big issue for him. He's definitely an outside, you know, linebacker in a 4-3 defense. You know, maybe he could play Sam. Maybe he can play Will. Maybe both. But I have to study him more to know for sure. But really good football player. Really excited about him. Cleveland Farrell had a nice game the other day. My biggest question with Cleveland Farrell, does he have the bend? That's my biggest. I think he's kind of upright and rigid. Can he drop that pad level around the corner? That's my big thing with Cleveland Farrell. I don't, because right now he doesn't use counter moves really a lot. He does sometimes use power moves, but remember how we talked about guys that can go outside, inside, or through you as pass rushers? What can Farrell do at a really high level? I think he has the potential to maybe do all three eventually. He's only a redshirt sophomore. Is he ready to do that? Does he go back one more year? You know, play with that loaded line? I don't know. I didn't get to see a ton of Christian Wilkins. I kind of have mixed feelings about Christian Wilkins still. Maybe I'll save it for another podcast, because we're a little thin on time for this one. But wanted to mention real quick, we haven't talked about the Miami class a lot, the Miami group, and Miami's obviously having this undefeated, awesome season. But there's not really a ton to talk about, because most of these guys are going back to school, right? I mean, Malik Rozier, redshirt junior, but he's, you know, going back to school. And Jeff Thomas and Amon Richards are, you know, freshmen and a sophomore, two of their best prospects, both going back to school. I like Braxton Berrios as a day three type of guy. I think he can really – he's really kind of polished up as a slot. How athletic is he? I'm not sure. But he's a polished up route runner. I like him. I think he may find a home. I don't know if he gets drafted or not. They lose a couple offensive linemen, but Miami's pretty loaded for the future, man. This Kendrick Norton kid, number 7. Did you mention Kendrick Norton to me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a player.
Mm-hmm.
We might be talking about him, that junior.
Yeah, man, him. So we got him. We got
Jaquan Johnson, that
Jack
number
Quarterman.
4. Redwine, you like Redwine,
Johnson,
right?
Redwine, my boy, Sheldrick Redwine.
Shaq Quarterman, the sophomore, the linebacker.
Yep, and then Michael Jackson.
The U is back, baby. The U is back.
It feels good to be a lifelong Canes fan, John.
Oh,
let me tell
you. Get out of here.
It feels really good.
I'm interested to see what Jaquan Johnson does as a true junior, because he's having a heck of a season. He is my type of player. You know, a little bit undersized, but explosive, rangy. This class is weak at safety. No, I think he's 5'10", 5'11", 190. He just plays with that chip on your – you know, he just kind of has that – aura about him when he's on the field that you're like, this guy's just a player, man. Like, I don't really care. I don't know where he gets drafted. I don't know, but he's just going to be a player for a team. Like, he just kind of conducts himself in that way. So, a little bit Buda Baker-esque to me in that way. So, I don't know. He's my type of guy, but good chatter on the prospect. We got tons more to talk about as we move through the week. We got cool stuff lined up for you this week. Not going to reveal it, but we got cool stuff lined up for you. So make sure, as always, you are keeping it tuned right here to the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.